righty. Well, I want to welcome everybody again to a wonderful another edition of Saturday AM Live. And as our guest just said, you know, this time of morning at 7 a.m. on the West Coast, it is rather challenging at times to be ready to rock and roll. But those of us who, you know, believe in the phrase, the early bird gets the worm. And, you know, I've seen a lot of birds in the middle of the afternoon that are always getting the worm, too. So, Ed, I'm not sure maybe why we torture ourselves at this time of day. But
I guess you got to decide if you really want worms.
Yeah, I guess that's what you got to do. But Ed Weems has been in around the Neekin family for about as long as I have, going back, what are we talking, like 15, 16 years now here, Ed?
No, 15. I think I'm in year 16, yeah.
Okay. And recently, you were given the prestigious honor as the recipient of the Heart of Neekin. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. But for those of us who are on the line who have never heard the Ed Weems legacy and how you got started and a little bit about your background, because there's, you know, Ed, every time we're together, either you and I or with our family, Stacy and the girls, or I hear you speak, I learn a little bit more about you that I didn't know, and it's always intriguing because we have similar backgrounds, we share the same faith, and you spent a good portion of your life living overseas or and living in places that, just a little bit further outside of the Continental 48, we can put it that way. So take us back to the beginning and share with us, you know, this journey of where Ed has come from. And what's brought it up to today? And I think it's a major contributing factor, probably if not the contributing factor, for receiving that award that that you were, you know, given at the most recent convention. So enlighten us, Ed, a little bit about yourself.
Well, okay. Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be anywhere on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, and certainly nice to be on this call. I heard some of you talking about how cold it is around the country. I grew up, my dad was always talking about, we lived in Alaska when I was a kid, and I always heard him talk about it being colder than a banker's heart. And so I guess some of you are, it's so cold where you are that you're not, the dogs are barking, you're not even going to hear the sound until spring when it thaws out. So it's I'm just glad to be in the mild Pacific Northwest dance where all we get is a bunch of rain and floods us, and at least we don't have to shovel it, so.
Well, and that's the thing, because you can call it global warming, call it whatever you want, but, you know, we were up skiing yesterday, and it was warmer up on the slopes than it was at our house. We were hitting air pockets, they said last night, on the weather of 65 degrees on the slopes.
Yeah.
And we were loving life. Our kids were having a great time. We really didn't want to leave, except for the older I get, the less I can endure pounding my body.
Not to make anybody envious, but I might go for a motorcycle ride this weekend. How's that sound?
In the middle of winter, of course. So you grew up in Alaska, Ed.
I was born in Alaska. My mom and dad were missionaries, and in fact, my mom was actually ordained before my dad. She went up to Alaska. She wanted to go to Africa, but back in that time frame, 40s, they wouldn't send a single woman to Africa, so she chose another place that starts with A, Alaska. So,
of course, you know, they're both begin and end with A, so she's, you know, just Alaska's a little closer.
So she and her brother actually went up there in the 40s and did some real groundbreaking work, and I guess that's a little bit of why I feel like I've approached life more with the mentality of a pioneer than a settler, because my folks really modeled that kind of work. I mean, they often went to places where they weren't being handed something that had already been started that they could build on. They literally had to kind of scratch out the beginnings of what they were doing right from, you know, from nothing. And I guess that was part of what attracted me to the whole Neekin adventure in the first place, was the fact that this was indeed groundbreaking. It was new. It was something that everybody needed to learn about, but very few people in this country knew about. And I just like, I tend to gravitate to opportunities in life events that are more defined by the pioneer, the word, the concept of pioneer than those who come in after everything's already built out and just settle there and just maintain. I can't stand that kind of routine. Some people talk about having, you know, 20 years experience doing something, and to me, really, it's probably more like 1 year's experience 20 times.
Mm.
And so that kind of repetition or monotony is not anything that, I guess that's why I look back in my career path prior to NECAN, which was usually in the context of something related to ministry, whether it was social service or was a church or a Christian school. I was always, I guess I choose to say it this way. I don't know that I have ADD or ADHD because I've never paid attention long enough to figure out what those terms actually mean. But I know that I've got to have a new opportunity or something new and fresh every so often. And as I look back historically, that every so often usually maxed out at about 7 years. I had to hit the reset button and do something different because I just had reached a maintenance mode, and that's just not me. And so when I approached that time frame in my NECAN experience, internally I began to think, okay, is this switch going to flip again? I'm going to be looking for something else. And so for me now to be in year 16 is I'm setting a new record of longevity every day, which is good. But I think it also is more indicative of the fact that I really still feel in the big picture, Vance, that we're in a pioneering mode still here. We're still laying.
Yeah, there's always something new and fresh, and it's like Dennis Williams always says, because he's been asked so many times, Dennis, you keep doing the same presentation over and over and over. Don't you ever get tired of it? And his response is absolutely not, because it's always new people.
The new audience, yeah.
And every time we approach somebody with NECAN, whether it's, hey, they got this incredible product, or hey, you look like, you've been talking like you could use an extra few shillings, would you be open?
Yeah.
And it's always good.
The fact that the company is constantly, in my opinion, kind of hit the reset button for us.
Mm-hmm.
New technologies, new markets, new things. I mean, I just think that so much of what the NECAN business is defined by today is stuff that wasn't even on the radar screen back in 93 and whenever we got involved. So it's new and it's fresh, and here we are. And I still feel, I guess, you asked me to kind of look back historically. I think the mold was kind of cast in my life to be involved in something, connected to something that had some element of service to it. I saw that modeled by my parents and lived in that culture in Alaska, then again later in South America, where it was your life was defined by service.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I was involved in service club. I was president of a large service club in town. I've been involved in the community in a variety of different facets, and to a certain extent, to a great extent, the career track that I had was one that was definitely defined by service. So my initial attraction to NECAN really had nothing to do with that. The attraction to NECAN was just that the products, which I didn't understand, that I'd never heard of, once I got beyond my initial skepticism, which I think everybody has some degree of, I don't think very many people are going through life just hoping they can discover a magnet company. There's a few people I think disconnect with right out of the chute, but boy, it sure didn't for me. I thought the poor brothers who'd approached me with this was sucked into a magnetic cult of some kind, and my initial quest was to try to rescue the brother. And when I learned about the company and the products, I was intrigued enough to just wonder if indeed they could be of the same benefit to people that I knew that they had been to people who I didn't know as I heard about on a tape. And the fact that the products indeed were life-changing, that was the initial attraction here. And the only attraction to the business part of it was not to pay retail. And I enrolled just because... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, you said something that just has kind of been churning around in my mind there, that living a life of service to other people, and I guess that would really combat when we would talk to somebody, or even in our own hearts, we'd say, I'm not a salesperson, and you've never been a salesperson, and I've been around when you've talked to people and introduced them and spoken to people, and I would never even look at anybody in NECAN as a salesperson. There are definitely salespeople out there that you feel like, okay, why don't you get into this timeshare, or you really need this, Wango Dango Wismo Gizmo for your house. That's a different story. But being service-oriented, it's not about building a business by selling anything that NECAN has to offer, whether it's the business opportunity or the products or, a different lifestyle. It's about serving their needs and saying, hey.
Absolutely.
And you've done that over and over, and I remember back to the early days of being introduced to myself that we never really look at it. And once we grab hold of, and I know you well enough to know that you've never studied how magnets work. You don't have any idea what negative ions will really do. I mean, in the big spectrum, we just know that the products work.
Yeah.
And we haven't spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. We leave that to the analytical types, which people have told me at times I am. But it's like, okay, no, people always come first. And, you know, we got in this conversation last night at our small group meeting that, you know, people always should come first over projects. Ed, you... As things have evolved over the years, I know you've got all of your family involved. Well, one who's in the military right now, so not actively building. And in two right now are. Correct me if I'm wrong. You've got one that followed your footsteps. David has followed you in the ministry, and Tim and Julie have well for different seasons gone that route. But it's been a real family-type business for you to allow you to do this. I guess the biggest question that I have in leading up to having this honor of the heart of Nikent, because a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm in this for the money, or I'm in this because I want to change people's lives, and there's definitely a balance to all of it. And you didn't set out, because I was there. I watched you with complete shock and awe. Received this award, and this isn't something you set out to do.
Well, no, absolutely not. In fact, it was funny. I was sitting next to Ray Schwab, one of our fellow Diamonds, and they were kind of building up on the stage to introduce this, and I just jokingly said to Ray, I said, you know, Ray, if they ever come up with the liver or the gizzard award of Nikent, maybe you and I be in the running, but, heart, it was completely unexpected. You don't set out to win an award like that. I mean, I look at an athletes who win I don't know what the equivalent would be in the athletic world, but even those who win any kind of a recognition for their performance, I mean, they just have to do their best.
Mm-hmm.
And if their best ends up stacking up to be worthy of some kind of recognition, it was ancillary to the way they just approached their job. And I just think that if service to people, I guess I resonated with the five pillars of health that Nikent embraced right from the get-go, and I thought, wow, a company that would really have that kind of broad-based interest at heart for its customer base, its distributor base, that says something about the company. And as I got to know the company over the years, I realized this is not a company that's just about the bottom line. Mm. The bottom line is important. I mean, that's got to be there, and there's got to be fiscal soundness. But it's more about that. When I went to Humans Being More training, which we used to call Silver Training, and realized here's a personal growth program that has nothing to do really with driving the company's bottom line, but just helping people improve their life. That says something about the company. So I just resonated with the broad-based values that I thought that the company modeled, and they just happened to market great products that impact people's well-being. And I just I bought the mission, and I think the recognition. And I really do feel and appreciate the fact that there was some recognition to Ginger and my late wife there, because she really modeled the heart band. You know her. Mm-hmm. I think I sometimes tend to be a little bit more cerebral, a little bit more callous than you would think of, just in terms of a heart definition. But I always thought I was a head, she was a heart. So the fact that it was both of us being recognized, that was nice, and I was glad to accept the award on her behalf, and I hope that somehow was able to participate in that.
And Ed, you've modeled the five pillars. It's more than just, as you said, that's what resonated with you in that, because we're the only ones that have that. And I've even seen the other companies, and they call it a different name, but they have like the four standards or the three baseline thing. I'm like, well, which ones are deemed not important and you're cutting out? Because we really, a healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society. We've really, and again, you've the bulk of the people in your organization have set out, not, you know, it's not like we get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to live this life. I mean, today I'm going to be balanced, you know, 20% in each one of those categories. No, it'd be impossible to do that. However, you've modeled that in the way you and Ginger lived, and the way you continue to live today, and what I see from your family as I'm, you know, perusing through Facebook, and I'm not the diehard Facebook fan that my wife is, who is connecting with people all over the world, which, a little free plug, it's like MySpace, but it's without all the garbage, and it's been a great business building tool for us, and Rick and Paige Murphy are using it to the nth degree as well. But there's certain things that, again, it's the people that are the core.
Yeah.
With the five pillars, with the philosophy of, hey, people come first, always. And if we're going to set out to serve people, then that's where we start. And if we can live our lives in balance, and that's, I know we've vacationed together, and seeing that, that it really is about the seasonal, we take this in balance, because the rest of the world is out there. Their bottom line is just the almighty dollar. And there's nothing wrong with having money, because you and I both know we've been on both sides. Because most ministers are not in the upper echelon of having it. And I mention to people all the time that even my years of ministry, being able to serve people in this capacity as a Nikan wellness consultant, really, as far as the fulfillment and the satisfaction angle, it really does, because you know you have something. I'm not saying that spreading my faith didn't. It's just, it's a different realm. And this is a huge door opener that we can really get in and allow people to do that. Ed, where do you see this going in the future? Because you'd even said that, you know, everything, you went through 7-year cycles, and you've now doubled that. So you're kind of would be in that third 7-year cycle. As we go into this thing, we've got our second annual MBA event coming up, and we've got a new president at the helm. We've got Larry Proffitt, who was with us and now is back in a vice presidential role. A lot of things going in our favor, and yet we've been here in this country now for we're talking 20 years.
Yeah.
Coming up on a 20-year, just in North America alone, which to some people they could look at and say, well, come on, yeah, but that thing's not new, it's not fresh, it's, you know, where do you, you know, what, when you think about Nikan in the future, in the next decade, the next 25 years, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Let me just back up a second and pick up on the service aspect. I have polled a lot of audiences, and I do this frequently at a preview. I'll have everybody who's reached a leadership rank in Nikan stand, and then just quickly pan the room and have those that are standing, that would be silver and above, have them identify the career, the general career background that they come from or are still involved in. And I can tell you, from years and years of doing that, that the largest representation comes from the teaching field and from the healthcare professional field, fields of service, fields of education. Very, very few people come from a sales background, and so it just blows. It just blows and blows out of the water the theory that you've got to be a salesperson, because really this is an education business. We're teaching people about wellness and about some technology that is new to them. And there's those that have a track record of service in their life are the ones that really tend to rise to the ranks, through the ranks in this business. So it's consistent out there in the field. Let me say something about the fact that we're now 20 years old in North America alone. I think we're 35 globally or something like that. There's a lot of folks that will look at Nikan and say, oh, it's had its day. And sometimes they'll even go so far to very ignorantly bring up the saturation word, as though that once opportunity's been around like this this long, that it's no longer a valid opportunity. And that obviously appeals to those that are just wanting to only ride the brand new wave, or think that they have to be on the first wave of something to make a go of it. You and I one of whom couldn't get his mind off the money, and he quit. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it still isn't saturated.
Well, in that repertoire of the 11 that did stick, was some of them were some pretty shady guys.
Pretty much a blue-collar crowd, I would say. Not necessarily, you know, the creme of the creme of society. So, the point is that saturation is a myth. There are more people today that will become of age to enroll in NECN than we're going to enroll by far.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not even keeping up with population growth. The idea that, somehow you missed the window because you weren't involved in the first few years of this is an absolute myth. I look back and realize how much more we have today to work with. You mentioned Facebook. I mean, just think about the Internet itself. You and I have never heard of the Internet when you got involved in NECN.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I made it all the way, if you can fathom this, I made it all the way to platinum with no cell phone, no computer, no pager, Internet wasn't around. I mean, how did we do it back then? I mean, we had to do it the old-fashioned way. To sit here today and be able to be on a conference call like this, and, you know, I'm talking to people in different parts of the world on a webcam, and it's amazing to me the technological platform that has been delivered to us to facilitate the growth of a word-of-mouth-driven business. There's never been a time in history where technology is so in place to facilitate the spread and the growth and the support of a word-of-mouth-driven enterprise like today. This is absolutely unprecedented, and I guess that's why I'm still in this thing, 15, 16 years later. But where it's going, I couldn't have envisioned where it is today 15 years ago, man. If somebody would have described what NECN looks like today to me back then, I would have, really questioned, how what they were smoking. And who knows? I just know that I've got enough confidence in the company, the leadership, the field leaders to know that wherever it's going, I'm on board. I'm along for the ride. We'll see. It'll be exciting. I mean, I'm gonna see where we are 5-10 years from now from the inside, not the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I'm not an accurate predictor, but I just know it's going to be a good ride. Are we together? Did I lose everybody? Did we lose Vance?
Nope, I'm back. Sorry, a little power outage.
Oh,
but
okay. All right.
Ed, you said something about that I have to go there because it completely resonates with what we've already been discussing, is that people who will object and say, well, it's had its day and, I need something that's new and fresh and, I'm going to put my anchor here. And yet you can look back, and we can all do this, whether we just signed up today and we sponsored our first person or we signed up 15, 20 years ago and we sponsored several who have then sponsored many, many other. You have invested, unlike a lot of people who right now are just literally squirming in their boots, and I'm one, though, that had a little bit of investment set aside for some future college things that I'm having to rethink that whole idea of, investing in the stock market because it's something that's not in control. However, when we invest in people and your equity, your assets, your future is in many hundred and thousands, several thousand wellness consultants around the globe, and you
well, maybe Vance got another power outage here. I'll just say this in case the fact that hopefully we're still connected and the rest of you can hear me. You can't go wrong in investing in people, especially with an enterprise that has the ability to continue to duplicate. I've often likened this to a business where, you have an oil well that is pumping when you're asleep. When you're doing something else, you're distracted elsewhere and with life's cares, this thing's still pumping, and you look out there someday and all of a sudden there's two wells where there was just one yesterday. That's what this business kind of seems to be like. And I can tell you from having gone through a period of time where life distractions can take your full focus, a wife that was struggling to survive, to be able to have a business that can sustain you while you're having to just deal with other things is a, is a true blessing from above. I'm kind of like Dennis. When Dennis had his heart problem several years ago, and realized that had he been still selling cars and couldn't work for 90 days, nobody would have sold a car for him. But this business had the ability to sustain him, in fact, grow during that period of time. And so that's a real value that's hopefully something you'll never have to take advantage of. But to know that this business has that kind of potential, I call it drilling your well before you need it. And this certainly has that element. So I'm thankful that it came along. And Dance must be.
I'm still here. The power just keeps going on and on. When you live in an area and you've seen where we live, there are many beautiful aspects to, like, well, Chuck and Claudia, who originally introduced you, their view of Mount Rainier, our view of Mount Adams. But when you live in an area where you get to enjoy a view, there are some. We have wind pressure. That's been blowing for several days now at 40, 50 mile an hour, and sometimes trees snap and fall on power lines, but that's the blessing of. If I just go get the old fashioned corded phone that plugs in, then we could have this consistent fluid conversation. And there was one other thought, and it talks about being up on a conference call at 7 o'clock in the morning. Before you and I ever even get up, because, and it's not something necessarily that we did. We introduce people who introduce others, but talking about drilling your wells deep before, life happens and before things, because, as they say, the only two things that are inevitable is death and taxes, and there's a lot of other things too. And I would add to that, when you invest in people, you will always win. We will always win because people are the strongest asset.
Yeah.
And it's not about, I've got all these people in my group, so I can just take a couple years off and they'll do all the selling for me. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
However, before you and I ever even get out of bed, we've got people over in Europe and in Australia and the other side of the globe, the other side of the dateline, that are well into their day and actually even getting ready to retire for the evening, who have generated and invested in more people. And so the cycle just continues on and on and on. And you've got a substantial organization in Norway who have literally put Norway on the map for Niken. And
I'm looking forward to visiting them for the first time next in March. So it'll be exciting.
So you're like me, that before I ever went to Sweden to visit our people, and I'm getting ready to make my second trip as well. And people keep looking, oh man, can I go with you? I'm like, you really don't want to go to Europe or this type of part of Europe in the wintertime. It's not really glamorous, unless
you
really like cold. But one last thought that I think, to look at what the legacy that you've created, and again, I come back to the your four kids and the family member and the legacy that they continue on and what you started, it really is about people. I mean, ultimately, that's our greatest asset. It's not the selling. It's taking the time to invest in relationships and build them, and that we will always come back to win. And even in what our nation has gone through as far as a financial crisis, a downturn in the economy, there's a million different ways you can describe it. It's been interesting to watch how people really... Dennis Estes's comment the other day on the Wednesday night corporate call made the comment that I'm finding it easier to talk to anybody and everybody, people that I never even would have thought would even have paid attention to network marketing. And yet people are now saying, I see the value in the people equity, the people investment, that what we had before, this traditional way of generating income, just on selling something or providing a service, we've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And
I was asked a question recently. I think it was actually, I went through Humans Being More again the first part of the year here, and the question was posed, what do you value, what do you treasure? And as I thought about that, I thought, what I value most in life are relationships. Mm-hmm. Things are just things. Places are just places, but relationships are the things that are the most valuable. Aristotle Onassis one time was asked, what would you do if you lost everything you had and had to start over? He said, I'd just earn it again. He said, because you can take, you could, you can take my wealth. He says, you can take everything. What you can't take from me is my contacts. It is about relationships. It is about people. And I said at Junior's Memorial, and you were there, Vance, I've never ever in my life been associated with an organization of people. I don't care if it's a civic club, and I've been involved with a lot of those. If it's a project, a board someplace, or if it's a club or a church, I've never been associated with a cross section of people that has brought so much value and so much relationship into our world as has been true of NECAN. And it's the kind of people that I want my family around. I want my kids, my grandkids to be around. And I'm thinking of this trip I'm making to visit some of our folks who I've never been. And here's a network of people to whom I already feel connected and feel like family with. And we're thousands of miles away, and some of them we've never even met. But that's just the way the NECAN network is globally. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. It's such a valuable, valuable asset in life. And if you like people, then this is a great business. If you're not a people person, then either become one, or you'll be a misfit here.
Yeah, because it's like the flight attendant, who said, do you really like your job? Oh no, people suck. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you might want to switch because, really when you think about it, that bottom line, it's like the business owner
said, business would be great if it wasn't all these lousy customers.
we're gonna have to deal with the headaches of the people bring, and that's. Yeah, and it's just like the phrase. Well, if you're looking for a church and you find that perfect church, don't go because you're going to muck it up.
Yeah, right.
we're all people. We have our quirks. But Ed, and I think again to sum it all up, tie a bow on it to wrap up our wonderful conversation here is that's what started you in this. It was somebody who cared enough to say, hey, have you ever heard about magnetic therapy? And those who have never met Chuck Branum, that's a whole story in itself. But sometimes NECAN can be introduced in different packages, and I know it was for you. And yet, aside from that, even introducing people to the gospel, it's going to come in different forms. And even today, with the internet and with some of this high tech stuff, we have the opportunity to utilize it. But bottom line, as Ed is so eloquently describes, it really comes down to putting people first, putting the core philosophy of this company, the mission statement, to enlighten, to just give people the opportunity to get out of this rut, the box that our society loves to put them in. Or as Rick Murphy says, putting them in a dairy cow in a cubicle. I think we have so much more to give, and when we start with people, they come first, build the relationships.
And a challenge too, Vance, is to make sure that what we offer people, and I use the analogy of not wanting to taste too much like the can. Have you ever gone to the refrigerator to get a juice and when you taste it, all you can taste is a container, and it really doesn't you don't get the true flavor of what the product is supposed to be. And I think sometimes in life we are guilty of making the product that we represent taste too much like the can. And we need to make sure that what we present to NECAN is gives them a real true introduction to what it is, not who we are. And relationships will come, but sometimes we get the packaging so much in the way that the product is obscured. And I think that's part of our mission, our quest in this business is to make sure that we really meet people at their level and let them truly be introduced to what NECAN is, not what we want to make them think it is.
Sure.
And that's a challenge, but it's something to continue to work on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Ed, again, thank you so very much from the bottom of our heart. No pun intended. And again, as one who, and I can't help but think, as you said from the stage a few months ago, that you didn't know what the requirements were, you didn't know what the responsibilities of wearing the mantle of the heart of NECAN. I don't think I got to change anything. You just keep doing what you're doing, and that's evident in what you've shared with us this morning.
I looked over at this old trophy that the company sent home with me, or sent it to me, because it's too heavy to pack on a plane. I just say, that it represents a lot of people out there, and I'm humbled every time I look at it. And I just thank God for Chuck girding up his loins and mentioned this to me back 15, 16 years ago, and I looked down the road and I thought, you know, who's going to be involved, you know, down the road just because if somebody opened up and said something. You know, I just mentioned this. We at Humans Being More a couple weeks ago in Seattle, the facility that we met in is the same facility where I convened a breakfast meeting about 14 years ago to introduce a prospect of mine to this business. And I brought Chuck along because he was just he was a part of the startup. And I brought a prospect named Herb Schoenfeld along, and I arranged a meeting with Dennis Williams. And all four of us were in that same room in Humans Being More 2 weeks ago, and I used the occasion to point out that just down the hall from where we're standing today, there was a little innocent breakfast meeting just to bring the power of leverage face-to-face with the prospect to try to paint the picture of what this business could be. And little did we know the historic significance of that little bit of a time over coffee. And, you know, here 14 years later, the legacy from that introduction has spans the globe. And so I tell people, when you're out there today and you're sitting and you're leveraging, you know, an upline on the freeway, or you're having coffee someplace and you're making an introduction, you know, look at, you don't know the potential ripple effect of that innocent little introduction, what it might lead to in terms of impacting people's lives around the globe. So just see the activity that you do today or tomorrow or the rest of this month in Unique in Business as having the potential to ripple effect, to ripple over the next several years and encircle the globe and literally build for you a legacy that will certainly out-influence you personally and outlast you even perhaps in terms of your life. And that potential is a powerful motivator to make sure we just get out and do the little things to make this business successful.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and then we all know that those of us who know the rest of the story out of Herb Schoenfeld, kind many, many significant people who are still with us today.
Mac and Pat were in that room. Mac and Pat were in the room, and we none of us knew them at that time, but they're part of what has come about from that business and many others.
Yeah, and you know, and the lives that have been changed physically and financially and literally around the globe because of that. We just don't know the ripple effect of introducing people. So, well, Ed, thank you so much again for getting up so early. Well, it's not so early, but again, it's not usually the time that people would get up on a Saturday morning. And I want to remind our gang here, if Ed said something, and I've written down several things, and I'm going to go back, and I'm actually, this is one of those interviews where I'm going to go back and listen to the interview, but if you missed something, you thought, man, I wish my friend who is in the ministry, or he works with the Kiwanis, or, you know, is really involved in social stuff like that. I wish they could have heard this. Well, they can. Send them over to www.growingandwellness.com. And Brad usually will have this interview up in a couple of hours, but take advantage today because sometimes it's just the freshness of saying, you know, I was listening to this conversation this morning and I thought of you. That right there, that statement, can sometimes bring such a huge door opener where the person will respond and say, well, what were you thinking about me? Well, you know, I said it to a friend of ours the other day at church. I said, you know, I was thinking about you in the shower today. And they're like, well, what was that all about? And, oh, come on, get your mind out of the gutter. I said, no, I was listening to a song, and she had written this song. And I said, you know, the power of those lyrics that, you know, I'm coming alive. And so when we talk about people, and we say, you know, I was thinking about you. Well, send them to Growing in Wellness. Let them hear the interview or pick up a copy of the CD for $5. And just as a reminder to everybody that all the proceeds, all the profit that Brad and Beth Huddleston, that they generate, it, every single dime that gets generated from what Growing in Wellness is doing to bring, you know, materials to us, it goes to further support, lack of a better term, global evangelism. Brad is a full-time evangelist. That's what he does. And so that's where the income that, you know, when you think, oh, if $5 for a CD, for what you're getting quality-wise with the chapter tracks and settings is definitely worth every penny of it. And
let me just throw this in on kind of on that same note, Dan.
Yeah.
We were fortunate, and you were at Ginger's Celebration Service 7 months ago. Was fortunate that was professionally videotaped, and we just got around to basically getting that finally edited and produced and added a lot of photos to that. And it really was a beautiful celebration of a great life. And if somebody wants one of those, they can go to Focus on Growth now, and they can get a copy of that entire celebration, which was you know, not something you wanted to just sit around and look at all the time, but it was really indeed a special special event highlighted by a great talk by a NECN president, a lot of NECN folks in the audience, and so I'll just steer you Focus on Growth.
Yeah, and Ed, I've referred back to that memorial service, that celebration service of Ginger's, because the bulk of the audience was the NECN family. And your strong words from the platform and the way you described who we are as a group of individuals, I sat there and looked over at Stacey, and I'm like, wow, I have never, ever. And so, again, focusongrowth.com. And I actually, for some reason, have that phone number from when I lived in Oklahoma memorized, 800-496-8508. I'm guessing that's a DVD that they can pick up.
It's a two DVD set.
Okay. Yeah. That, again, and it's not something you're going to sit around and watch every night, but if you want to see the power of a life lived, of what, and it may even be one of those training things that is a reminder of an annual experience to sit down and watch something like that celebration service. Say, man, this is what I need to do to tweak in my life to ensure that you know, this is the way we're going to investing in people and building them. So,
well, at some point, I think everybody has to think about what we once said at their what kind of eulogy that we once said when you know, our time comes. And I've had people come back after having watched that and say, you know, I'm going to be a better mom since having watched that. I'm going to do that. You know, and it's the impact of their life. And it's out there.
Yeah, it's the question of what between the two dates, what does that dash represent on our headstone? And that's exactly it. So, well, again, Ed, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you very, very soon at the next wonderful event. And remind everybody, same place, same time next week, and looking forward to having you join us again. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon enough.